Shapes and Shoots with Joe and Sabrina. On Afternoons, 102.5 ABC Perth and ABC Radio WA.
A very good afternoon to you, Sabrina Hahn.
Well, a very good afternoon to you too, Joe Trilling.
Now, it's clearly raining where you are, and the rain is coming through very, very loudly. Am I hearing the right thing, Savvy?
No.
No? Are you running a bath? Are you in the bath, Sabrina? What's going on?
It pains me to tell you that I am sitting outside near the pool, but I'll just...
Let's try that again. Sabrina, do you know, someone thought you were having a shower.
Wow. I have to say, I've never done that. I have done a few things in my day when I've done things on air, but definitely not taking a microphone into the shower. No.
Oh, that was very funny. I literally thought it was pouring with rain where you are, and that's what we could hear coming down the line. Now, I'm sure you too are a lover of foraging and wandering around the ocean's edge and picking up bits and pieces. We just heard about a bloke who built an entire boat from bits of plastic and such that he found on the beach.
What a beautiful man. He was, you know, really concerned about the planet and what we're doing to it, and he's obviously extremely creative.
Very creative, just like you, even though you don't shower while you answer gardening questions. And I've got I've got a couple that have come through.
I could take it up.
No, please don't. Please don't. Annalise got in touch really early on in the show, Savvy, and she's in Geraldton, and she wanted you to identify the white-barked gum trees with pretty distorted, irregular trunks along Grandstand Road in Ascot opposite the racecourse. We've got a photo for you. She says, do they need unique pruning to encourage irregular growth? What's happening there?
Well, these are the Eucalyptus victrix, you know, the dwarf ghost gum. Now, they are usually a mallee, and their natural habit is to twist and grow down, and these ones are almost growing horizontally. So what happens with Victrix is they lose limbs quite easily in really strong winds, but their natural growth is very flippy-floppy, and it's almost like, it looks almost Japanese-y, doesn't it? It's
stunning,
like it's been trained to grow, yeah.
But unusual.
But I'd say what's happened is that they've been, at some point in time, they've been, you know, branches have been ripped off, and that's how they grow. And you'll notice all the Victrix around, because most of them are grown from seed, there is such a variation on the growth form.
There really is.
So that's quite normal. It hasn't been trained. It's just succumbed to the wind.
There you have it, Annalise. Hopefully that's answered your question. And just very quickly, John would like you to please provide the recipe to kill a tree stump. He has the blackberry and tree killer, something to do with kerosene. I know she said it a million times, but I can't find it on the net. Please, please help, John.
Happy to say it 1.1 million times. So the important thing is you want to, number one, kill the cambium layer. Now that's just underneath the bark. So you drill holes in that area where the cambium layer is, and you drill holes in the trunk, and then you mix 60% kerosene, 40% blackberry and tree killer. You mix it in a glass jar. As soon as you've drilled the holes or cut the tree, you have to paint it on. So you just get a paintbrush, paint it on, and make it, you know, really drizzle it in those holes. You usually only have to do that once. You usually don't need a repeat unless it's an oleander and then, or those mongrel Brazilian pepper trees. They just won't die.
Okay. Bruce, you want to transplant your grass trees. Is that right?
Yeah, I'm moving down to Waikiki next year, and I've got a load of grass trees on my property in Oakford, and I want to try and transport a couple down there if I can.
Yep. Okay. Now I would go small. I would take this. You sound pretty young, so you've got a few years up your sleeve. the bigger they are, the harder it is to transplant them, Bruce. So now the big thing with grass trees is it's to do with the fungi that's in the soil where they are growing. If you can get machinery, you need to dig a bloody big hole, because once those grass trees hit the soil in Waikiki, it is very different to where they are living now. So you've got to, so first of all, before you dig them up, you need to make sure the soil is moist around them so that the soil doesn't fall away when you lift them up out of the ground. So use a wetting agent, and I would also drench them with something that's got humates and fungi and bacteria in it. So do that at least 4 weeks before you're going to dig them up. Have you got 4 weeks up your sleeve?
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's not till the middle of next year, so...
Oh, you are just, so, how prepared are you, Bruce? Forward thinking. Yeah. I'm impressed.
Yeah. Yeah, I love my grass tree, so I want to take some with me.
any other questions, or does that make sense to you, Bruce?
Well, about how much soil do you think? Because I've got an abundance of soil.
So. Look, it depends on the size of the plant. Obviously, but basically, yeah. When you're looking at a grass tree, at a belga tree, you've got to think of where the fronds come out. Usually that's how far the root system comes out, but they're quite deep rooting as well.
Okay, yep.
So the bigger the hole, the better, and the dirt that you get from your place in Oakford is really important to take with you.
Yeah, got ya. No worries.
Good on you, Bruce. And
Bruce.
Sabby, it's great to see Bruce going to those efforts to transplant those trees. He really loves them. John, I think you've got a question about mandarins, or protecting the mandarin tree.
I have, thank you. I've had some good, well, crops basically in the last couple of seasons, but they're affected by fruit fly. I put a bait up last year and it's supposed to be good for two trees. Not good. I got another bait, the same type, liquid, and top it up every now when I need to. And still, I've lost a lot of the crop with fruit fly. What do I do?
Yeah. Well, there is, you can get fruit fly netting, John, but mandarin trees tend to be fairly wide, and it can be hard to net them. I would put in a couple of different baits. For a start, fruit fly are active all year round. We only notice them when we have fruit, but they're actually there all year round. So putting baits, traps up in your tree, and if you go to Depurd, there's lots of different recipes you can do to attract fruit fly. So you hang those in the tree all year round. Then you need to put, I would definitely have one trap per tree. And you've just got to be vigilant. Make sure that there's no fruit that's left on the ground. Some people get chickens just for eating fruit fly larvae, but you may not want to do that because you have to look after chickens.
Have you got chooks, John? Mm.
No, I haven't got the
interested
area for that anyway.
not the area. Okay, hopefully that helps. Yeah.
And one more, if you don't mind. When it comes to pruning the mandarin tree, how severe or how much can I prune it and when, please?
Okay, so you're better off pruning your mandarin every second year, because you get a different, you'll get a better crop every second year. So the year that you have the bumper crop, that's when you're going to prune the hardest. You can take 50% off and thin, try and get out a lot of the branches that cross over. But you can go pretty hard every couple of years, because the year after you've done the pruning, which you do as soon as you finish picking the fruit, you will get much less. So
happy pruning, happy netting, happy mandarin protecting. I hope you get a better crop next time, John, and get rid of those fruit flies. Almost 20 to 3 on 102.5 ABC Perth, and, of course, right across Western Australia. Roots and Shoots with Sabrina Hahn taking place. If you've got a question, 1300 22 1025. Let's head to Leeming. I think Mari's got a question about orchids. Good afternoon, Mari.
Oh, hi. Hi, Sabrina. Sabrina,
hi, Mari.
Lucky enough to be given an orchid plant as a gift. It's got beautiful white flowers about the size of biscuits. Anyway, it was in flower and beautiful, and then the stalk remained. About 4 months ago, halfway up the stalk, it started growing from the deceased stalk. And now another shoot has come off there, and I've now got two flowers and maybe another six on the way. So it's sort of like a stalk off a deceased stalk, if that makes any sense. How common is that for an orchid?
No, that's quite common, Mary. But what people do when the first flower dies, people just cut the whole stalk off because they don't realise that it will still produce flowers, because the flowers that stalk produces has been developing like a year beforehand. So that's why you will see, you know, orchid collectors, you will find that they always have the dead sticky stalk still on the plant.
Yeah, I think, Marie, you've just found that you're quite good at growing orchids. You've obviously got it in a nice sunny spot and you're watering it and it's going to flower again.
Yeah, completely by stealth, I can assure you.
Oh, well, keep doing what you're doing, I think. Mari, is that the message, Sabby? Just keep doing what you're doing.
Yep. Absolutely. You've got a winner.
You have got a winner, and they're so beautiful, aren't they? Let's have a chat to Stuart. Stuart, another Mandarin question. Good afternoon.
Hello there. Good afternoon. Hello, Sabrina.
Hi, Stuart.
Hi. I've got a mandarin tree. I think you might have answered most of this with the other gentleman, but it's probably 7 metres tall. It's pretty much finished fruiting at the moment. And it's just getting too big to manage, so I'd like to cut it back to a manageable height. The first sort of 1.5 metres is pretty much bare trunk. So by cutting it back half, is that what you recommend at the moment?
Yep. You'll get it shooting further down.
All right. So I'm not worried about bare trunk.
Oh, you don't care about a bare trunk?
Okay, so, yeah, but at 50 metres, it'll just start sprouting fresh. Okay.
Yeah, now, when you prune mandarin trees by 50%, you probably won't get fruit the first year, or you'll get much less fruit. But the thing about all fruiting trees, you have to keep them at a size that's manageable and that you can reach the fruit. So even though you will lose a bit of fruit, at the end of the day, it's worthwhile because you can then manage to get the fruit.
Oh, there are so many mandarins around in our area, and I love that people put the fruit out in little baskets out the front of the house, Sabrina.
I know. Isn't that cool?
With little notes. Stuart, good luck with your mandarin tree. Shane's just sent through a photo. Ooh, of a ginormous mandarin. Good on you, Shane. It is 17 to 3. Let's check in with Andrew, who would like your advice. I think, are you having a bit of a hard time with your hedge, Andrew?
Yes. Hi, Sabrina. This is the first time I've called in, so it's quite exciting for me.
It's wonderful.
I sent a photo through. It's a Michelia coco, and I've had that hedge there for quite a while, maybe 8 years, and it used to be extremely healthy. And over the last few years, I've just been battling with it, and I don't know what to do. I've replanted. I've dug out all the soil and laid new soil in and then replanted, and they just keep dying on me, as you can see in the photos. So I'm a bit lost with what to do.
They're actually not looking too flash. So there's a lot of dead wood on them. The leaves are yellow. They're really suffering from an iron and magnesium deficiency. Now, I don't know if there's something going on in the root system there, Andrew. Did you, when you said that you've replaced the soil, did you dig one up and have a look at the root system?
Yes, I have some photos of that somewhere, because I've been, I've been to several gardening places and tried to work through it. I couldn't remember so quickly. I'd have to send another photo through for you to look at.
Because the, you know, if you've replaced the soil and you've put good stuff in, so the Michelia cocoa is, it's generally fairly hardy, but I reckon there's something going on down at root level. For some unknown reason, they're not, it's, they're not being able to pick up any of the nutrients that you're putting in there. What you need to do is go to liquid feeds and drench the soil with that. And I'd also get something that's got, you can get a liquid fertilizer, you can buy it online, and it's actually made from crustaceans. And it is an absolute cracker.
And Sabi, so would you, one of the, sorry, I just interrupted.
Yeah.
You would advise Andrew to keep trying, you know, try and get that soil in a better state or definitely not time
but
to
I
replant.
Also, it's quite hard to purchase established ones. So I've been, you know, online looking for that. Would you have any advice on where I could get established ones? And maybe they'll have a better chance.
I do. I'm going to text the producer, our producers, Slim and Eb. I'm going to text them the name of places you can get them from. I can't give you...
Okay. And then we'll pass them on to you, Andrew. So we can text those through to you. Once Sabi's given them to Slim, we'll get that info to you.
All right. That sounds great. Thank you. And I'll try the liquid... I've done the liquids, but we'll try again with the crustaceans, and I'll try to purchase some more developed ones.
Oh, good luck, Andrew, and thank you for calling. It's great to have a chat. First time callers. So hopefully we get the plants in better condition. 1300 221 0025. If you've got a question for Sabrina, get in touch. It is 14 to 3. Now, Sabrina, Navin Thornley is asking what to do with the bugs in her garden, please. There are snails and something else eating and curling the leaves on their lime tree. Should they be cutting the tree short so it can bear heavier fruit? It was full 2 months ago, but they had to support it with sticks because the weight was unbearable. And you've got a bit of a pick there, Sabrina. Hopefully you've got a response.
Yeah. So the curling on the leaves is the citrus leaf miner. Now, you can use a pest oil if you want to. But I would suggest, Nav, that what you do is you get some bugs to eat the bugs. If you've got snails, the snails won't be affecting the leaves. So the snails will be sort of climbing up the tree and wanting to eat leaves. So snails are easy. Go out early in the morning or in the evening and just pick them up, drop them in a bucket of soapy water. Citrus leaf miner, very difficult to control, but the moths come out at night. They're tiny little grey moths, so you can spray them with pyrethrum. If you've got other things constantly eating your lime tree, it means that the tree is under stress. So I would go for the snails first, use the oil on the tree and see if that actually helps alleviate the stress on the tree.
There we go. Plenty of work for you to do, Nav, to get rid of all of those bugs. It's 12 to 3, 102.5, ABC Perth, and, of course, right across Western Australia. Sandy says, is Sabrina in the loo? No, she's not. You're just in a very echoey room. You're not in the shower. You're not in the loo. You were by the pool. And now you're...
I was.
Now you're somewhere
else. Now I'm just
else.
In a room that echoes, yes.
In a room. Okay, I've got a question from John in Durian Bay, Sabrina, who has built up a bed with quality soil. However, the third plant they've put in, they only last about 12 to 18 months. It does face southwest and they're on a corner and it is not very happy, that plant that John has sent through. Have you got any advice?
The picture. Picture's just coming up of basically a dead bush.
Yes,
really?
I wasn't going to be that harrowing in my description of it. There is a tiny bit of green, but lots of sticks.
Little bit of green. Now, that needs a bloody good prune. Rather than looking at dead sticks, you're better off looking at smaller dead sticks. I reckon the problem is water. So get a wetting agent, drench the soil, prune it right back. As soon as it starts to shoot, then apply a seaweed solution, but not until it starts to shoot. Check for the, you know, we all get fooled in winter. When we get winter rain, we think, the garden's been watered. But because our soil is so hydrophobic, that rainfall doesn't even penetrate 3 centimetres into the soil. So always check and make sure that your soil is actually absorbing that rainfall.
Okay, that is good advice. Now, I've got another question for you on the text line, Sabrina, and it is from somebody in Margaret River. Sorry, I'm just madly trying to make sure you can see the image. Oh, my goodness, this is, you're going to love. Wow. It's not good, but wow. Okay, so.
It's awesome.
This.
So.
It's a young. Something's all over the young jarrah leaves, and the lovely listener says they live 10 minutes out of Margaret River. What is going on there?
Okay, so for people that can't see this picture, there's two things going on here. Number one, there's a hard-bodied eucalyptus scale, and number two, there's galls. They're leaf galls, which are really interesting, but probably not so good for the plant. So, now, the scale, you can spray with an oil and that gets rid of them. The galls, however, are a different insect that have burrowed into the leaf, and the galls are formed by the plant itself to try and get rid of, suffocate the.
Have you
whatever
seen something like this before? I mean, that is wild.
Ah, galls are amazing, and they can be caused by insects or bacteria, all sorts of different galls. Eucalypts can get something like 35 different galls and, you know, heaps and heaps of scale. So if you use a pest oil at this time of the year, that will probably sort both of those problems out. But really, really, really important to actually pluck off the worst affected leaves, because the scale are going to have 200 eggs underneath them, and the galls, the leaf can never recover. So, and I'd say it's from an insect, not from a bacteria, so you want to get rid of those leaves. Leave ones that are not too bad, leave them on the tree, spray them with a pest oil, but remove the ones that look like they've got leprosy.
I wish we could show you all exactly what Sabrina and I are looking at. I have never seen a plant in such a condition. So thank you for explaining that, Sabby. And thank you for joining us from the toilet, the shower, the pool.
And the swimming pool.
And the swimming pool. Enjoy yourself. We'll chat again next week.
Okay, bye.
That was Sabrina. It
ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.